Calming Down Dogma with his karma. This is the Drew Marshall Show.
So long, nothing could pick me up. It's not fair, always running out of luck. Then today, I decided that's enough. I'm okay. Now I'm gonna take the jump and let go. Time for me to suck it up.
Well, folks, Biff Naked's sixth full-length disc, well, that's hard to say, entitled Biff Naked Forever, Acoustic Hits and Other Delights, is an intimate look into her life's journal and the amazing journey she's had so far. Her career heights have taken her around the world on tour, from Russia to Central America, from India to touring all over the UK, Europe, and North America for 20 years. Man, really?
Okay. She started when she was 5 or something?
Apparently.
Like that?
And into your homes via The Tonight Show and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, starring in feature films and winning awards from Much Music to West Coast Music Awards. You got to get ready to hear Biff Naked, unplugged, unshackled, and unshakable in a town, on the internet, and on the airwaves near you. She is a legend. She is an icon. And she is on The Drew Marshall Show right stinking now. Biff Naked, how you doing?
That's unbelievable. I'm getting out my change so that I can mail it to you for being such a nice man to say such nice things about an old lady. I gotta say. No, I wasn't 5. I started touring when I was 18 years old.
Really?
Yes, I did. I'm proud to say. And, I don't know. It's like being a criminal, really. Uh-huh. You don't really know any other life.
Right. You've never had a real job? Is that what I'm hearing? Come on.
Yes, I have had several real jobs.
Okay, all right.
In fact, I was a dishwasher by choice when I was 18 years old. I applied for a job as a dishwasher because I thought if I could do this job and love it and enjoy it, then there's no work I will ever do in my life that will be terrible to me. I'll always love anything I do.
Beautiful.
And I do.
Beautiful. Okay, look, I want to get right into something here right off the top. First of all, you creeped on me. You followed me on Twitter. Now, was that a strategic move by your people from some sort of, here's a media, here's a radio guy? Or do you love me?
I do love you, but I don't know what creeped means. Does that mean I followed you and you didn't know that I did yet? Is that what creeped means? I'm like, what does creep mean? They're so funny. There's a girl on Twitter who's a friend of mine who said, who was making a comment about a very rude, I guess, there's rude people everywhere. Sometimes there's rude people on Twitter. Not too often, because they don't usually get in any of our feeds, because we don't follow them.
Yeah.
But she called them a troll.
Oh, yeah.
I said, what's a troll, for God's sake? what are you talking about? And she said, that's what they're called.
No, that's
so now I'm learning about a troll, and now I'm learning the word creep, and that means, does that mean secretly following someone? Is it really a secret, or is it
I knew. I just saw it there, and I thought, because I'm vain enough to check once a day who follows me, And but look, we have a mutual friend, Zara Durrani. And
a wonderful human being.
Isn't she? I mean, she's not only, beautiful, gorgeous, model, blah, 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 but wow, what a, the heart, the guts of that girl. Just an amazing woman.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I am a fan of hers, and I am a fan of your show.
Now, the other common denominator here is, I've had Strombo on my show, and he came on and talked about why he's an atheist and that sort of thing. And I watched the interview that you did with Strombo a little while back, and I really think you and Strombo should find a way to work together. Because you two
are... Bless your heart.
I see something there. I really do.
Bless your heart. Well, wouldn't it be nice if Canada had its very own Regis and Kathy Lee in it with him and myself?
Exactly.
You know what? I always think timing is everything. And, someday I'm sure that will happen. He has a wonderful, wonderful career. He's a national treasure,
Yeah, yeah.
He really is. It's just amazing. I've known him as long as I've been on tour.
But here's the thing. That interview that you did with him, I think he asked you 3 questions. That's it. Because there was
I never shut up.
Seriously.
I never stopped talking. Ask any of my teachers in school. I have always been a chatterbox my whole life. Ask my mother. She had to give me something called a church pinch most of my life when we'd go to church because I wouldn't shut up in the sermon.
I like that. My my mom just brought a taser with her, so that was
Very good. See, that's what I'd probably do now, or just throw a rock.
Well, listen, I'm gonna try to make this interview. I'm gonna try to just make it more enjoyable than Strombo, more enjoyable than the interview you did with some guy named the Road Dog in Waterloo a few days ago. Wow, that was
very nice. Yeah, that was about a month ago.
That was a highlight of your career, I'm sure. Prime ballerina for 14 years. No, prima is really how you should say it. Discovered acting in grade school. A couple of guys in your acting class had a band. Singer quit. Then you started singing in this punk band. Quit university. Went on tour with them. And you're still touring today. Did I sum it up?
Yeah, basically, that's really how it goes. And I think that's how it is for most people. My brother-in-law is the same way. He started working in computers when we were all out of high school. And he's still working, for the same company. A lot of people just keep working for the same thing for 30 years, and that's what I do, too. I just happen to be an artist.
Well, okay, so your mom is this nice Minnesota girl. There's three daughters that she had, Larry, Curly, and Mo, and you were the middle child. Do you have the syndrome that goes with that position?
Well, I also have a unique position of being... So two of us are adopted. My older sister and myself are adopted kids, and we always knew we were the adopted kids. She's the brown one, I'm the white one, and then my little sister was born. But not only am I the middle kid, I was also the only Canadian my whole life. So I had, they wouldn't say, oh, she's the middle kid. It'd be like, she's the Canadian. So that was a whole different can of worms.
Wow.
I use that to my advantage in the fourth and fifth grade when we lived in Lexington, Kentucky, where I lied to my classmates, told them all I spoke fluent French because I was Canadian.
Beauty, eh?
Didn't speak French. Made up every word, told them it was a French word. They all believed me. And then I had to try and remember my lies.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Oh, yeah. Learned lots of lessons. And I did eventually learn Francais.
So you were a proud Canadian. So does that mean you took bronze in all of the races and stuff? You're happy with bronze?
I'm a good mediator. I was always a really proud Canadian, and I still am. I'm very patriotic, to say the least. I'm very patriotic.
Well, let's talk about this religious home that you grew up in. Your parents were missionaries, I think, who raised you Christian and Hindu. Excuse me?
Basically, well, they were United Methodist kids, and they met through... through many organizations in the United Methodist Church in the University of Minnesota, where they're both attending. And, I guess we were just raised as good little United kids. And because of our India connection, my parents always kept that culture alive as we grew up, really. And we just had a lot of respect as an interfaith. Home more than anything else. My father is a great theologian, really, and he can explain at length many of the different philosophies and stories of every single good book that's ever been written. It's very interesting.
So why did you bust out the Buddhism when you were about 22, 23? Was that sort of that esoteric, altruistic age where everyone's smoking something that leads them closer to something?
Well, I don't know. I never was, I've been a straight edge a really long time. I never got into the enhancers. I never got into the psychological enhancers, but one of my first loves was a Taoist, and so I started to become very curious about different theologies in the world, and as we traveled and as I met more people, I met vegetarians and vegans, and I met Rastafarians, I met Taoists, Buddhists, Hindus, and we got really heavily involved in Hare Krishna stuff, like a lot of the punk rock kids did back in the late 80s and early 90s. The Krishna punks were a very positive movement, and we liked a lot of bands that kind of lived that lifestyle and believed in that faith.
I was adopted, and I found my birth parents recently.
Oh, congratulations. Very interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of a cool deal. Of course, you, your birth mother, only 16 years older than you. But here's the interesting thing that I think is more interesting than the rest of the interesting stuff, is that you follow your birth dad on Twitter, but he doesn't know it?
I doubt he knows it. He's not real. And it's all a big mystery. My birth mom and myself are great friends, and I'm great friends with her children. who I guess we're all half siblings, but, you know, more than anything else, we're friends, and it's wonderful. But there are a couple different ideas, really, about who my birth dad was, who my biological father was. And in the 90s, when we were just kind of discovering email, basically, my manager sent a letter to my birth dad, because my birth mom, it turns out, was adopted. So we basically were looking for medical history, any type of just questions answered regarding that. And that was really how we approached it. And if I tell you, he was so not into being contacted.
Oh,
it was it was really quite embarrassing for me personally, because I felt terrible. I felt just terrible. I didn't mean to intrude, and I just felt really badly about it, and so I never ever contacted him again. I felt so guilty, and I just felt bad. For whatever reason, he probably, you know, never told anyone, or whatever his deal is. You know, I don't really take it personally. That's his deal. But as a result, you know, I never wanted to bother him or impose. So I never contacted him again. But I have discovered him on Twitter, and I have to say, you know, it'd be silly if I didn't follow him.
Yeah.
It would be silly.
All right, so 2008, you're newlywed at the time, you get breast cancer, 6 rounds of chemo, 11 rounds of Herceptin, surgical port under your collarbone with a catheter up through your jugular for 11 months, lumpectomy, ovaries removed, thrown into menopause, and to cap it all off, it's because you were anorexic that you found the lump in the first place.
Well, I don't know for sure if that's why, but I know for sure that I was pretty skinny, and it was pretty obvious that I had a lump there. You know, I had pretty small, I call them hammers. I had pretty small hammers, pretty small boobs at the time. Pretty small, because I was very skinny. And, you know, a lot of girls...
you realize that gives a whole new meaning. Sorry to interrupt. I can't let that one go. It gives a whole new meaning to getting hammered.
Well, you know,
right?
I'm a rock and roll girl. It's just going to be how I'm going to say it.
Right.
But, you know, I think that it was like... I can't say. I obviously will never know for sure if I would have been a healthy weight and had normal size boobs like I was supposed to, if I would have found it or not. Because, you know... boobs are weird, and every girl will tell you, natural boobs are a weird thing. Girls don't really know for sure, because they kind of change with the month, and we all feel kind of, you know, silly, because they're not, it's not like feeling your foot, and suddenly there's a thing. You know, they're not, they're kind of bumpy and soft and squishy and weird, and it's hard to discern what may or may not be healthy or not healthy. So I think that a lot of girls are very, very trepidatious about it.
Okay, my engineer is giggly over here because you said the word boobs.
Still stuck on the word hammers. Well,
yeah, hammers.
No, I just wanted to do that description again with your breasts. There we go.
I understand the hammers. Well, I'm happy to say I'm at a healthy weight now.
Good.
And I'm healthy and happy. What can I say?
Good for you. Now here's a quote from you. And by the way, I'm very mindful of our time here because your peeps said I should be mindful of the time. And do you have a couple of minutes left? Are we okay?
I certainly do for you.
All right, thank you, darling.
Of course.
Thank God it's not my mom. Thank God it's me. Thank God I get a vacation. That was your answer. Your response to getting
breast cancer. Yeah. Yes. Basically, and I still feel that, you know, thank God it wasn't my mom or my sisters, either one of them, or my birth mom. You know, I just think that girls like me, you know, I've been on tour for a long time in my life. I've seen a lot of life, and I just feel like I'm really well equipped. I think that I take pride in my coping techniques. Whether they're healthy or not, I know that I can man up, basically, and deal with just about anything. And I wouldn't want my mother or my sisters to be faced with any fear or feeling sick in any way. It's like that saying that we all have. You know, when we have a sick loved one, we say, if I could take the sickness from you, I would. And I got the opportunity to do that. I got to live it. So the minute I was diagnosed, I was like, oh, thank God it's me. Mm. And I still feel that way, you know, whenever anything heinous, you know, may or may not happen to me, around me, you know, anything. I just think, thank goodness this is occurring for me and not for someone
else. Okay, hold on. You know that's weird, right? You know, like 99%.
I don't think it's weird.
No, but hold on.
Think that.
99.9% of the population, when they get struck with something, whether it's a bus or cancer, go, why me? And here's Biff Naked. Here's Biff Naked who goes, well, I'm so glad it's me.
That's right. Why not me? Why not me is what I've always said. And I just think that most people, if given the opportunity to choose if it was them or if it was someone they love, they would choose, give it to me. They would.
Yeah.
I know it.
Good call.
Any of us would. And that's all it is. It's just me saying it.
Okay, there's all this thank God stuff. Thank God this, thank God that. What's your God thing? What do you believe? Do you have any labels that you like, that you're okay with putting on yourself?
God, like the expression God, you know, today in this day and age, in 2012, 2013, it's very popular to say universe instead of the word God. If these were the Middle Ages, we'd all be, you know, freaked out about every single weather change that happened, or any, you know, any disease that came out of the chickens that our parents ate, or whatever it is. You know, I think that I really like having a life of faith, and that faith could be as simple as just being, having faith in ourselves. It doesn't have to be in a God, or many gods. It doesn't have to be. Living a life of faith is having faith in humanity, or having faith in people doing the right thing, or having faith in people being nice to each other.
But do you believe there's a God?
Oh, sure. I believe everything.
No, come on.
No, I believe everything. I believe in everything all the time, 100%. I think that most religions really are great and wonderful moral stories that have been passed down for centuries and centuries. And I think that culturally they're all a little bit different, just based on, you know, what area, region wrote them. But generally, I really do believe that people, human beings, we have the capacity and the desire to be good to each other. And living a faith-based life, I just think, helps people be able to make sense of hardship and helps them get through things. I think it's important.
So when you get diagnosed with cancer and you go, thank God it wasn't, you know, my mom, and thank God it was me, okay, did you, you know how they say there's no atheists in foxholes? Like the Jesus people might, when they get diagnosed with cancer, go, oh, dear God, please heal me of this cancer. Did you have any sort of prayers when you got cancer?
Prayer doesn't have to be formal, and it doesn't have to be addressed to any person. I pray every day. We all do. Every day I say, thank God for my food. Every single day, because that's what I grew up with.
But people are saying,
every time we ate, we said, thank you, God, for our food.
Right.
We just did. It's a habit, but I believe it when I say it.
Right, but people hear that, right? You hear the way you've constructed the sentence, they would go, okay, you believe in God. So which God do you believe in? Like if you're...
I believe in everybody. I believe in you, me. I think it's like saying omnipresent. You know, it's everywhere. It's the universe. It's our faith. It's our heart. You know, I'm also a yoga kid. So it's like, you know, we have a lot of different deities and different ways to frame what we're talking about and what we're thinking. And it changes. It waxes and wanes. I think that there's... good messages in every single religion, every single theology. Even atheists, you know, are my homeboy. Everybody, you know, I believe in everything, because at the end of the day, I believe in people.
So if Biff Naked was to pick up one of those Hardy Boy pick your own adventure books and fill in the blanks, would your journey be one with no regrets?
Oh, no regrets ever. Ever. What for? The only thing I've ever regretted was not putting sunscreen on my hands. That's what I regret as a female. Let me tell you why. Your hands are going to look terrible by the time you're 70 because we didn't put sunscreen on them. You think everybody makes fun in Vancouver of all the ladies who drive in cars with cotton white cotton gloves on their hands. I go, oh, damn it. I wish I would have started doing that when I was 20. That's my only regret. Oh, no, no. I have one more. That and not putting sunscreen on my neck.
Right. Right. Because your neck.
No, that's the only regrets in my whole life. That and maybe a bad meal once. But I mean, that is.
You know, you should get a Coppertone sponsorship.
Oh, bless your heart. I don't know. I would have to investigate that with the vegan police and see if it was just animals. I don't know about that.
All right, let's finish this interview with a real quick wrap-up called Is Wiki Wrong? That's what this is called. Is Wiki Wrong?
Very interesting. Very interesting.
You ready? Here we go. I already know the answer to the first one, so I'll do the first one. You can do the rest. Wiki says you're a Juno Award winner. I say, no, you lost it to Nickelback.
Bingo, bango, bongo, you're right. I never won a Juno. I don't know why that's in there. Yep. I lost to Nickelback, who are friends of mine, and I was so happy to be nominated. I was the only girl in the category that year nominated, and I was thrilled.
Nice, nice. Okay, birth parents were two teenagers at a private school in New Delhi. True? Was Wiki wrong?
No, that's kind of leaning towards the truth. They were at it's not like a private school. It was a school for missionary kids.
Okay. All right. Were you adopted by American missionaries? Is Wiki wrong? I think Wiki was right.
That's correct. I was adopted by American missionaries.
Are you bisexual? Is Wiki wrong?
I love everybody. Wiki's not wrong.
Have you had an abortion? Is Wiki wrong?
I did have an abortion.
Have you been married twice? Is Wiki wrong?
Well, I guess they both have to count. So, no.
That's a funny answer. Wedding to Ian was a traditional church ceremony. Is Wiki wrong?
I was married at St. Andrew's Wesley United Church right here in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Biff's music has been featured in and on soundtracks for shows including Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Charmed, Moonlight, The Crow, Stairway to Heaven, and Celebrity Deathmatch. Is Wiki wrong?
I believe that's all correct.
You're a rock star. You are indeed a rock star. Ladies and gentlemen, on The Drew Marshall Show, somebody I think we would all enjoy hanging out with just a little bit more, Biff Naked, who has this killer little CD going here, Biff Naked Forever, Acoustic Hits and Other Delights. Boy, there's some of your old, slam dancing friends who would not be happy with this disc, but I am thrilled with it. The production on this is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. And that's Doug Fury, my longtime collaborator, and Ryan Stewart, of course, from North Vancouver, BC. I'm so proud of those two. I'm so lucky that I got to work with them.
Biff, I like you.
I like you, too.
Tim likes you, too. Sorry, Tim's making waves and arms. I know
I
you
like
have...
I too.
You're creeping on Biff, aren't you?
Yeah, I've liked her for a long time.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move.
That's very nice. Thank you both. What a nice way to spend our Saturday afternoon.
It was. Listen, have a lovely life.
Thank you to you as well.
Okay, Biff. You take care.
Okay, thanks, Drew.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Biff Naked on The Drew Marshall Show. What an interesting girl. This has been a fun show. Stay with us.
You left me like a broken doll in pieces as I took the fall for you. You dumb chump. You left me free falling like...
10 years ago, after 5 years of pastoring in Australia, Drew Marshall moved back to Canada and with absolutely zero broadcasting experience, walked into the studios of Joy 1250 and pitched the idea of hosting a talk show that was different. Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is now listened to by over 100,000 people around southern Ontario and thousands more by Canadians coast to coast. On September 15, 2012, The Drew Marshall Show will start season 10. And as a thank you for putting up with Drew for 10 years, we've decided to cut all advertising costs by 10%. Doesn't matter which plan you're interested in. 1250 specials, 10% off. One-day advertising package, 10% off. Our summer holiday special, 10% off. Or even our 15-week advertising package is now 10% off. To sign up for one of our 10-year anniversary advertising specials, contact us today at drewmarshall.ca.